Blog Talk Radio. Chapter 12, Compatibility.
In many families, there is not that Christian politeness, that true courtesy, deference, and respect for one another that would prepare its members to marry and make happy families of their own.
Chapter 5, The Bible as a Textbook. The child's first textbook. The Bible should be the child's first textbook. From this book, parents are to give wise instruction. The Word of God is to be made the rule of the life. From it, the children are to learn that God is their Father, and from the beautiful lessons of His Word, they are to gain a knowledge of His character. Through the inculcation of its principles, they are to learn to do justice and judgment. A book of promises, blessings, and reproofs. The mother must keep her mind refreshed and stored with the promises and blessings of God's Word, and also the forbidden things, that when her children do wrong, she may present as a reproof the words of God and show them how they are grieving the Spirit of God. Teach them that the approbation and smiles of Jesus are of greater value than the praise or flattery or approval of the most wealthy, the most exalted, the most learned of earth. Lead them to Jesus day by day, lovingly, tenderly, earnestly. You must not allow anything to come between you and this great work. Its study builds character. The lessons of the Bible have a moral and religious influence on the character as they are brought into the practical life. Timothy learned and practiced these lessons. The great apostle often drew him out and questioned him in regard to scripture history. He showed him the necessity of shunning every evil way and told him that blessing would surely attend all who are faithful and true, giving them a faithful, noble manhood. A noble all-around manhood does not come by chance. It is the result of the molding process of character, building in the early years of youth, and a practice of the law of God in the home. God will bless the faithful efforts of all who teach their children as He has directed. It presents God's love as a pleasant theme. The children in every family are to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Evil propensities are to be controlled, evil tempers subdued, and the children are to be instructed that they are the Lord's property, bought with His own precious blood, and they cannot live a life of pleasure and vanity, have their own will and carry out their own ideas, and yet be numbered among the children of God. The children are to be instructed with kindness and patience. Let the parents teach them of the love of God in such a way that it will be a pleasant theme in the family circle. And let the church take upon them the responsibility of feeding the lambs as well as the sheep of the flock. Its stories bring assurance to the timid child. Only the sense of God's presence can banish the fear that for the timid child would make life a burden. Let him fix in his memory the promise, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them," Psalm 34:7. Let him read that wonderful story of Elisha in the mountain city, and between him and the hosts of armed foemen, a mighty encircling band of heavenly angels. Let him read how Peter, in prison and condemned to death, God's angel appeared. How past the armed guards, the massive doors and great iron gateway with their bolts and bars, the angel led God's servant forth in safety. Let him read of that scene on the sea when to the tempest-tossed soldiers and sailors warned with labor and watching and long fasting, Paul the prisoner, on his way to trial and execution, spoke those grand words of comfort and hope, of courage and hope. Be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola. hosting tonight, and I want to say good evening, and I also want to say God loves us, and it is a blessing to be on the prayer line. So let us have a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you, the most holy and righteous that we know. Oh, Father, we come to you humble and obedient to your word, Father, asking first to forgive us for our sins. And dear Father, we thank you right now, Father, for this prayer line. We thank you, Father, for the brothers and sisters that will join the prayer line. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. We thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Father, for being our Father, the only God that we will ever know, the God of creation whom loved us because he first loved us, and then he taught us to love him through his word. So, sisters and brothers, as I played that scripture that the Bible is our textbook, I didn't play the fullness because I see sisters has joined and brothers has joined already. So I want to go ahead and begin the prayer line. So, Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for those that joined early, and thank you for those that coming in later. So, Father, I lift each and every one up in prayer. May you be with us. Father, may your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and teach us, Father, the love that you have showed on Calvary cross, Lord, that we may present that same love to one another. Oh, Father, we thank you. We glorify thine holy name, Father. We thank you. We praise you. And, Lord, we give you all honor and glory. Oh, Father, we pray for the word tonight that you bless us as we read these scriptures, and let these scriptures, let us meditate upon these scriptures, Lord, as I speak, Father. Oh, Lord, help me that these scriptures will be my life, will be my bread, will be my eternal, and as I seek you, Father. Oh, thank you. I pray for my brothers and sisters as we begin to press one and share. We ask that you touch us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with thine love. Lead us and guide us. Teach us all thine ways. And we thank you. In your blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I would like to begin to just share a knowledge of God. And I'm only going to share just a little part on this because we do know that the Bible, the textbook, let me tell you, I did not know the love of God until I read the Bible. This Bible got words. This Bible is our light. This Bible is everything to us. This is where we began to love God and to love man. So I'm grateful to God's word. So I want to read just a little bit in the knowledge of God. And, of course, what the guy said earlier, the Bible is the textbook. But I'm going to read this. And I'm reading on page 44. And it said, if we will but listen, God's created work will teach us precious lessons of obedience and trust. From the stars that in their trackless course through space following from ages to ages their appointed path down to the minutes, atoms, the things of nature obey the creator will, and God cares for everything that sustains everything that he has created. And I'm going to stop there. I just wanted to just read a little part. And the scripture, I forgot to read the scripture in the Bible because I was so encouraged by sharing that, pressing the information that the guy just read, the Bible, the textbook. I wanted to read 2 Timothy, because he was talking about Timothy, and Timothy also tells us that the Bible is the inspiration. But let me just find the scripture. Let me get the scripture. Here we go. It says, all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God, and if profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. I'm going to stop right there. Well, no, let me read number 17. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. And I'll stop there. So, brothers and sisters, I'm asking that press one and your line will be open. And good evening, and may we have a joyful and a blessed evening today. Let me open the line for our callers. We have 518-489. Your line is open. Amen.
Good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. Good evening, Sister Leola. Thank you for opening my line and also to read the scripture, the knowledge of God. And we know that God told us that all scripture is given to unto me, us. And it's given unto us to help us, to let us see who he is, the true knowledge of him, and how we are supposed to be obedient to his will in everything that he has done for us. So I'm so thankful for his word, as you have said, Sister Leola. God is so good. The word of God is the knowledge, and it is also, right, our spiritual mirror, Lord. And we have to really, as God's children, be thankful for what he has given unto us, the word of God. It is our textbook. It is our medical book. It is our spiritual guide. So we just want to thank God for that. I will just sing this song, Gleams of the Golden Morning. And this is the second coming, because we know that he is coming soon and very soon. And we all have to look forward for him. So with the knowledge of him, by knowing more, we are able to go and share with others. So I'm going to sing this song, Sister Leola. Okay?
Amen.
The golden morning is fast approaching. Jesus soon will come to take his faithful and happy children to their promised home. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. The gospel sermon will soon be carried to the nation round. The bridegroom then will cease to tarry, and the trumpet sound. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning that will burst the tomb, attended by all the shining angels down the flaming sky. The judge will come and will take his the people where they will not die. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst that tomb. Dear, those loved ones who have long been parted will all meet that day. The tears of those who are broken hearted will be wiped away. Oh, we see the gleam of the golden morning piercing through this night of gloom. Oh, we see the gleams of the golden morning that will burst the tomb. Praise God. Kind and loving, righteous Father in heaven, Lord, we want to thank you for these promises, Lord. We want to thank you that we have a loving God who told us in his word, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and that I will come again to receive you on your own, that where he is, we will be also. Father, thank you for those promises. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we will, when we go into your presence, Lord, Father, when we look into your face and when we see that glory, dear God, we will all be singing this song. Thank you, Lord. You have allowed us to reach to that eternity with you. So, Father, this evening we come here on this land asking you, Lord, to forgive all our sins. We ask you, Lord, to allow us to be obedient to your will. We ask you, O Lord, to follow your command. We are asking you, Lord, to go as your representative out there in the vineyard to share the testimony that you have given unto us and the promises in your word, Lord, for your people to repent from sin and get victory over our sin so that we will be able to enter, that we can see, we see the gleams of the golden morning. Father, help us, Lord Jesus. Have your own sweet way on this line tonight, Lord. We ask you for blessing, Lord, for every brothers and sister. We ask you to bless Brother Yudi. We ask you to, as we lift up the store to you, the health store, we lift up his wife and his children, Lord, and the work that they have been performing over that side. We also lift up Brother Bernard, Lord, and ask you, Lord Jesus, those individuals who are getting the study with your word and your truth and your light, Lord, that they too will be filled and were good, willing, ready to go and share your word. We also lift up Sister Leola tonight. Continue to bless her and Sister Brother Rick and all the people that she are ministering to. Lift up her son Jarvis and Nicole. Grandchildren, them, Lord, you know everything. Her brothers and her sisters, her siblings, we lift up to you. We lift up our dear sister Brenda and Brother John, the mission that they are on and what you have done for them. Their life have been changed to a new creature. And, Lord, we ask you to pour your blessings upon them, even though the enemy sometimes with the body with sickness, but you are the great physician. We lift them up to you, and also those precious grandchildren. Continue to bless and our daughter and son, dear Father. Lord, and I know she's praying for her other sisters and her brothers, community, those who mourn their lost loved ones, Lord, during this demonic disease that is out, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen and to comfort their loved ones, Lord, so that they will look to you and trust you daily. Father, this evening, Lord, we all lift up Brother Rick, Lord, Rich and at Queensbury, and also his wife, the church, Lord, and Ashley, and his other children, Lord. You know everything about them and grandchildren. That little one who said she would like to baptize, Father, we ask you to teach her and cover her,
yes,
and allow the parents to teach her the way, Lord, of the truth, so that she will be prepared, Lord, ready when that time comes for baptism. We also lift up to you, dear Sister Carla. Continue to bless her in her ministry. We lift up Brother O'Neill, who's supposed to be having today, dear Father, that health seminar in Bronx, Lord. Lord, we know the day is almost done. And Father, if your work, the seed have been planted, Lord, help us that we will look to see fruit. You are so good. You are so great. And the team there, we lift up, dear Father, our Sister Payne and Sister Lynn. Lord, continue to bless them. Our dear Sister Tamika, Lord, eager and for the word, learning the word, sharing your word wherever she go, as a light in our community, dear Father. We ask you to strengthen her, Lord, with those books, those tracts, Lord Jesus, the three angel message, and her testimony, dear Lord, when she was not able to have that three angel message, Lord, in booklet, she was able to write it down on card and give it out to her brothers and her sister who she come contact. Lord, give her that strength, that encourage her to continue, Lord. We lift up our dear Sister Barnaby. Father, she come on this line here, Lord, and sing songs and pray for each one. Testify about the goodness. Read your word, giving you all the praise and demonstrating your love to her community where she is. We lift her up to you, Father. Bless her children here, and also bless her children in Jamaica and grandchildren. Take full control of them, and she pray for the whole family, Lord, on this line. We lift up our dear Sister Richardson, Hilda Richardson in Tennessee. Continue to bless, continue to keep them as they do their work down there. Share the truth to those who they come contact with, Lord. Share the truth, Lord, with the present truth, the knowledge that you have given unto them, and the word, dear Father, in the end time message as we read, Lord, and help us to study and to go and share with others, because your coming is near and this gospel message have to go out. We want to thank you for the three angel message. We want to thank you for the medical missionary, that, Lord, even the world now, dear Father, is crying out and telling all people the eight laws of health. The more you eat proper food, diet, the more you do exercise, the more you drink water, the more you have temperance, the more you use the sunshine, the more you rest, the more here you get. Lord, all these are good for the disease. So, Father, we have a message, and this message is the right arm of the gospel. So help us, Lord, that we will use it. Lord, we don't have to go nowhere to get this message, because you have given it unto us from creation, and you gave the whole world, Lord, to be obedient. So, Father, we want to thank you. Father, this moment, Lord, we lift up our dear brother Eli. Lord, one of your servants, one who loves you, and as he prays for himself, asking for prayer for himself, help him, Lord, to search the scripture, help him to read your words, and help him, Lord, to continue to be a missionary for you by sharing your love, encouraging everyone to hold fast, and never let go. So we ask you to pour your blessing upon Javel, Johari, and also Isma, and also Ebony and Miss Pasquiana and all the other, Daniel, Father, there are so many names, and he's praying for all the brothers and sisters on this line. We lift up Brother O'Neill, Lord, as we pray for his children and also his siblings. Pray lift up Sister Stephanie. As a young woman, Lord, we want to thank you that you have been using her, Lord, to present your word of truth and express, Lord, and explain, Lord. Continue to pour your blessings upon her. Her daughter, Kaja, and KJ, dear Father, continue to bless them and allow them to be a light on all the others. We lift up Brother Elroy, Lord, and Sister Erico, and their children, and the work that you have been given unto them, and let them to be faithful so that they can carry this gospel message. And their lifestyle will show, Sister Naomi. Lord, we lift up to the Sister Rutin. Father, we lift her up to you as they are willing to learn your words with the truth and that they are sharing your word, Lord. Brother Linhood, Lord, in Tennessee, we ask you to bless him. Sister Nelda, dear Lord, you know everything about her. We miss her, but we ask you to pour your blessings upon her. Lord, we also lift up to you today, dear Father, Sister Dixon in Texas, Lord. Continue to keep her. Continue to guide her. Our dear Sister Consinelli, Lord, and her family, this moment you know the desire of her heart to follow you and to be obedient to your will by carrying out the message, sharing your tip, Lord Jesus, and the resources that she have been giving on this line, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to continue to bless our people because, Lord, this is the time that this message of truth have to go out. There are so many names, Lord. You know every name, Lord. And tonight, Heavenly Father, I place all these names to you, Sister Elizabeth in the nursing home, Sister Miriam, Pastor Duby, Lord, Sister Brother Tony in the prison, Brother Dennis, dear Father, Lord, Sister Kihisha and Sister Rochelle, dear Father, Sister Rose, dear Lord, I place in your care. Lord, you are so good. Bless us and keep us. Allow us this light that we will praise you in song, praise you in reading the word, and praise you to listen our dear Pastor Akeen when he comes to present the word. Cover him under your blood. And dear Lord, we just want to let you know we thank you for health. We thank you for strength. I place my granddaughter Christine and her children in your care now, dear Lord. You are the great physician to her. I also place my other church daughter who lost her mother, Theodore, in Trinidad, Ashleen, and the grandchildren, Naomi, Jojo, and Denise, Lord, I ask you to strengthen them. Lord, they saw their grandmother thinking 220, Lord, and they had a good time with their grandmother. I'm asking you to comfort those little young soul of losing their grandma. Bless them and keep them and guide them. And, Lord, we just want to tell you thank you. We want to tell you, Lord, that we love you. We want to tell you, Lord Jesus, that we are asking you to keep us under the palm of your hand. We are asking you, Lord, this evening to strengthen us, Lord, because of the crisis and the time that we are in. We are living in a serious time. Help us, Lord, to take this thing serious, Christy. Yeah. Serious. Lord, because if we are fooling around, dear God, we will be lost, Lord. We see all the trick that is going on in this world. But, dear Father, help us not to look upon what they are doing, but look upon you. Because you said, look up, all these things is not the end. We must look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Bless us and keep us, Lord, for our other brothers and sisters to share and give praises, Lord, to you. We want to thank you in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. Amen.
Amen. And Sister for praying for everyone. And I forgot to mention, I didn't say prayers. I wanted you to lift up Sister Carolyn because she's kind of sick. She's real sick. And just lift up in prayer. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Okay, we can lift her up in the next session or Sister,
yes,
the next person.
We pray for her, but we didn't. Sister Ucala.
Okay. No,
Sister
no, no. Ucala.
Sister Carla.
No, Sister Carolyn.
Okay.
Carolyn.
Okay.
Yeah,
right,
my friend here in Baton Rouge. Yes. So thank you, Sister Powell, for lifting up all those prayers and the prayers for everyone that you know on this prayer line. What a blessing. So, and we also thank you for that song. We know when Christ burst through those them clouds, we know that everyone has been filled. So, is you know, we waiting on our Savior because he's coming back. And when he comes back to get us and everything is finished at that time. So thank you once again, and God continue to bless you with those prayers and keep them going. Amen. So we're going to go to open the next line. Thank you again. Brothers and sisters, thank you for being patient. We're going to open the next line. It's 518-650. Your line is open. And you can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, good evening. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany, New York. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee, pure woman, change as me a living fire. Why life's dark maze I tread, and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. And I am going to read Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me to keep me in all his ways. He shall bear me up in his hand, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, and utter the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. I will call upon him, and he will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me, and I will honor him. With long life will he satisfy me, and show me his salvation. Heavenly Father, my faith look up to you, O God, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, O God, take all my guilt away. O let me from this day be wholly thine. Father, it said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of you, O God, you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, in you I trust. Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening, O God. Nothing in my hands I bring. I come to you because I need my hand to be filled with a double portion of your Holy Spirit. So, Jesus, I'm asking you to anoint me, O God, to purify me, to cleanse me, O God, and to lead me. Lead me, O Father, lead me in your righteousness. Make your way plain before my face, O God, because it is only you, Lord, that makest me dwell in safety. Heavenly Father, I will trust in you with all my heart, O God, and help me not to lean unto my own understanding. But, Lord, in all my ways, help me to acknowledge you, dear God, because you will direct my path. Heavenly Father, use my refuge and my strength, very present help in trouble. Lord Jesus, use God and God alone, and there is no other God but you. I trust you, Lord. I want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. Heavenly Father, anoint me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. Create in me clean heart, O God, and renew right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, dear God, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I want to be humble, O God. Please, Lord, help me to be humble, O God. Help me to be meek, O God, because I want to inherit the earth. I want to live with you in that newborn, that new city, O God, New Jerusalem. Father God, I need you. You are everything. You are more than words can explain. You are more than worthy to be praised. You are the great physician. You are the sympathizing Jesus. You can do all things, God. There is nothing I can do. All things you can do. So, Father, as I come on this prayer line this evening, O God, all of us on this prayer line, along with our families, O God, we are from different backgrounds, from near and from far. Heavenly Father, you know, see what you, Lord, you are a great and a mighty God. Because without you, this technology could not increase. You have made man to do a lot of things, O God. You have blown breath into all of us and give us different things to do in life. Each and every one of our different talent. So, Lord, we just want to thank you, and we just want to praise you for the talent that you have given unto us. Lord, continue to help us to honor and adore you and to magnify you and to give you thanks for all your goodness and for your mercy, because you are good, Lord. We should praise you from the moment we woke until we lay our head back down to rest in the night. Lord Jesus, take us, mold us, and fashion us into your likeness, because we want to be like you. Because you is God and God alone, and there's no one like you, God. There's no one else could be God. Only you alone could be God. So thank you for being God. And thank you for what you are doing, Jesus. Because no one else could do what you are doing. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you, Jesus, to heal the sick, to feed the hungry, and to clothe the naked, O God, and to open shelter for the homeless. Father, be with each and every one of the ministers all over the world in diverse places. Some of the ministers are missing, God, because it's like the pressure is more than them. But, oh God, help them to trust you, Jesus, to lean on you, because, Lord, you will give them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Help them not to fear, not to be fearful, oh God, but to put all fear before you, and you will take away and make them into what you want them to be. Lord Jesus, be with government. I put them into your hand, dear God. Lord, you see the country, how the country is running, dear Father. Help them all to know that you put up government and you will take them down, Jesus. And what you have put in place, they must go by your leading, O God, and ask you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that you can give them to run your people. Tell your people what to do and how to go about, Lord. Help us all to come to you, Jesus, to bow to you and to kneel to you and to leave all our cares and all our sorrows and all our woes at the foot of the cross, because you is our mighty God and you will take full control of everything. Lord, you is a loving Savior. You is a mighty Savior. You is a happy and a powerful God, and you want to see all of us to be happy, to be like you, Jesus, in whatever we do. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be true. Help us to be loving. Help us to be kind. Help us to be sharing, oh God. And help us to be each other's keeper. Whatever we do, let everything be done according to your will. Each day as we go, God, help us, Lord, to help someone along the way.
Yes.
Just since we can, whatever we can. Lord Jesus, continue to bless every worker, oh God. Every being, every hospital, every nursing home. Be with every,
yes,
every doctor, oh God, every nurse, and everyone who go to and fro, and all patients. Lord, continue to bless, continue to lead, continue to guide, and be with each and everyone who at their job, oh God, whatever job they do, give them strength, oh God, to do what they have to do, because, Lord, whatever our hands try to do, do it all without murmuring and disputing, because you have provided for each and every one of us. So, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to call to you, to lean on you, to trust you, to live for you, Lord, and you will make us into what you want us to be. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, oh God. Be with our families. Be with our children. Be with our grandchildren. Be with each and every one we come in contact with, God. Help us to care, to share, and to do what you would do. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for answering, Lord. And whatever I fail of asking you, fail not to grant it unto me, I pray, and I give you thanks. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. We want to thank Sister Barnaby for her prayers, her songs, and sisters and brothers, that's what the prayer line is all about, to God and to pray for one another. What a blessing to come on to share and just to offer prayers. And we are to fellowship together. It is a blessing. Thank you again, Sister Barnaby, for your prayers and all that you've given to us. Amen. And we're going to open the line for the next brother and Brother Rick. I'm going to open your line, but Brother Rick, I have something here. Our topic tonight was the Bible is our textbook, and I read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, 17, but I just want to read a short verse in verses in Proverbs, and they say the call of wisdom. And I just want to say the wisdom, brother, brother Rick, I can't believe I can't call your name, but the wisdom that Brother Rick have and all the things that he has done for the prayer line as brothers and sisters when we were together, how he get everything together, the chairs, the music, he put up places and things he did, it was just a blessing to be able to bring everything together. It says, the call of wisdom. Wisdom cry out without the utter her voice in the street. She cried in the chief places and concourse in the opening of the gates. In the city she uttered her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorn delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called, and ye refuse. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Regarded is consider or pay attention. So, but on the other hand, when Brother Rick was called on to do the work of ever he needed to do to bring out chairs, he did so many little some things to set up the tent, and still working with the prayer line with the treasurer. It's such a blessing, and he come on the prayer line and give his testimonies and share, and still always support, whether it's monetary or on the prayer line. Brother Rick, we want to thank you once again for being a faithful love of God, because truly you have stuck with the prayer line since, and this been now, I think, years. So thank you once again. I'm open your line. Amen. 518-744, your line is open.
Yes, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And all the things you were just saying, Sister, you know, that's not me. That is the Lord working. And, you know, without him, without this prayer line, Sister, I don't know if I would even be in the faith. So, you know, I give God all the credit for, you know, for working in my life, for bringing Brother Udy into my life, and Sister Leola and Sister Carla and all the brothers and sisters on the prayer line.
Because,
you know,
oh, yeah.
Without that encouragement, Sister, I just came on just as Sister Powell was praying and I heard her praying for me, you know, and that gives me strength. It gives me it gives like a little boost to keep on going, saying, you know what, this is worth it. We have other brothers and sisters that are trusting the Lord, and we draw upon each other. You know, one person may be weak at a certain time, but another person will be strong. So we work together, and when one is weak, the brothers and sisters can come around them and strengthen them. And that is what the prayer line has done for me, Sister. So it's just a beautiful thing to be able to be a part of this prayer line with all the different folks. I mean, Sister Leola in Louisiana, we got Brother Rudy in Arkansas, we have Brother Akeem's in Maryland, we have Sister Carl in Tennessee, Sister Barnaby, Sister Powell in Albany. I'm up here in Fort Ann. We have people all over. Brother O'Neill down in the city. You know, it's just an amazing thing that God has done through this prayer line. So I just say thank you to him for that. And wow, what a beautiful weekend we had here, Sister. It's been extremely hot and humid here, and this weekend it cooled off, and it was just a beautiful time. And I was able to prepare a message for my church at Kingsbury this past week, and I just wanted to share with you my scripture reading that I had, and just some awesome words of encouragement here. I was looking at the book of I heard a sermon by John Lomacane on Nehemiah, and so I was going to prepare a message on Nehemiah. Well, I said, well, let me look back just before Nehemiah, and that was Ezra was there in Jerusalem just before Nehemiah, and right in that same time, Queen Esther was in the Medo-Persian Empire. And so I started looking at all these things. I started reading Prophets and Kings, the chapter on Esther the queen, and then the next chapter was Ezra the priest, the scribe, and then the chapter after that was Nehemiah. Well, I started doing this and preparing notes. Well, I came up with 13 pages of notes to present to my church family, and I'm thinking, oh, boy, they're not going to want to sit there through 13 pages of the notes that I have here, so I did cut that down to 8 pages and just did a presentation on Ezra. And, you know, if my brothers and sisters want to receive a blessing, read read Ezra, and then read the chapter in Prophets and Kings by Ellen White. I think it says Ezra the scribe, the priest, and then read Ezra again. And things that are in there, sister, you would not believe the things that just come out. I mean, the Lord showed me things that I had no idea were in there. I've not read Ezra that much. I mean, little pieces here and there, but never the whole thing. And the beauty that's in that book is just amazing. But I just wanted to share with you a verse here, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And Ezra had been raised one of the sons of Aaron, in the lineage of Aaron, I should say. I mean, this is many, many years later after Aaron was long gone. And but he was one of the priests in the line of Aaron, and so he had been raised and taught to perform those priestly duties, but he was not satisfied with his condition, his hurt condition, and so he sought the Lord. And it says here in verse 10 of chapter 7, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So as I was reading this, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, using the scriptures. He used the prophets, the writings of the prophets, and of King David and King Solomon. But he not only was seeking the law of the Lord, he wanted to do it. And that is such a lesson for us. Sometimes we seek the law of the Lord and then we go about our way and say, okay, that doesn't apply to me. I'm a good Christian. Let's just do things as I always did. And no, God says, you know, when you see my law, when you read my law, when I search out your heart, then you need to do it. And it's such an encouragement to myself and to many of the brothers and sisters at Kingsbury to hear this message. And it was not me that was speaking. God was speaking through me. And that sometimes, sister, if we don't have a speaker, I would love to present that message on the prayer line. It was just a wonderful, wonderful message. So at some point,
Brother Rick?
When I'm on, yes. Hello?
We don't have a speaker tonight. How much is it? We don't have a speaker tonight.
We don't have a speaker tonight. Well, sister, you put me on the spot,
no.
Didn't you?
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
No.
You
know what?
To tonight. It's okay.
If we,
you don't have
if
to
we
tonight.
Don't have
I was just saying.
Oh, no. You know, you said that the Lord is calling, sister. It's fresh in my mind. I need to do this, okay? So, yes, if we have no speaker tonight, I will be happy to present this, It was just a very powerful message, and
we will pray. We will lift it up. We're going to lift you up in prayer, and you can get through it.
Yes. Oh,
amen.
Absolutely, sister. You know, the Lord is good. He is gracious and
yes.
Kind and merciful, okay?
Amen. Okay, so are you done, and then you can get ready for it?
Yes. I will. I just wanted to lift up my daughter Ashley in prayer.
Okay.
I talked to her this week, actually just today I spoke with her for a short time, and she's doing quite well. Just pray that the Lord would just impress her heart that she would come back to worship with the brothers and sisters. You know, she needs that desperately, and but he has blessed her tremendously. She has come so far, and she is working at a nursing home as a nurse, working 60 to 80 hours a week there, taking care of the patients, the residents, and she is very happy to be there. And I'm glad she's there because she loves the people, you know. And I know God has put that in her heart, but just pray that she would come to the realization that she needs God in her heart, in her life, as well as work and her children and all these other things. So, and just pray for the rest of my family. Sister Powell was lifting myself up and my my wife and my children, and I just so appreciate that, and each one of us needs it desperately. Thank you.
Yes. Amen.
I will get my notes here, sister. I got to run inside, grab my Bible and all my notes here, and I will come back out here in just about 2 minutes, and I'll be ready, okay?
And about what time you need?
Oh, I'll be ready in just a few minutes here, okay?
Okay, well, I'll give you another, I would say another 10, about 15 minutes to make sure you get,
okay,
you know, get it all together. That'll be good?
Yes.
Okay. Amen. Amen.
Very good. Thank you. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, Brother Rick. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
And
oh, you're welcome.
Sharing that with Ezra. Yes. And now you're going to
yes.
bring us the word. So we're going to lift that up in prayer. So brothers and sisters, as Brother Rick, we're going to lift him up in prayer. When we go into prayer, and we can be praying for him as of now. And also, I want to open the next line because we got just another caller. So we're going to open that line, and we're also going to be very excited to hear the word, Brother Rick, the Spirit going to give Brother Rick. So let us open the next line, and they can give and would be able to share. Amen. We open the line for 95232. Your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. Sister Brenda, calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us and waking us up today. I just want to thank Him for being an awesome God and blessing us. I would like to read a devotion. Dear God, when I reflect on your power and your mightiness, confidence rise within me. Excuse me, confidence rise within me. Challenges and stressful situations may try to bring me down, but I take courage as I dwell on the fact that since you are for me, nothing can ever stand against me and prevail. Thank you for this boldness, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want to thank God because I've been having some studies, some Bible studies, and I've been learning a lot about the Bible, and I've been just puzzled and about the things that happened back in the days that with Moses and Peter and a few others, and I'm like, oh, like somebody, like it was telling me, you wouldn't want to be here when the Mosaic Law was, and we were studying about some of it, and I'm like, wow, they was dangerous, I'm telling you. Oh, it was some serious stuff going on in the Bible. And I tell you, I thought I was shocked when we started with Revelation, but they had some stuff going on throughout the Bible. And I don't know. I just probably passed out about it. I just heard from beginning to Revelation. But I thank God. He's a mighty God. He just was working things. And they either had to humble themselves or some was being taken out. And then God just, he was a good God. But I tell you, I just thank Him. We are blessed. And, you know, people walk around here like they don't even know who He is and what He's done. But, you know, they're not trying. But, you know, the Lord is good, and I thank Him. And I thank Him every time I wake up. So I just want to ask for prayer for all those people, what's going on in Haiti. Pray for the ones that's out sleeping outside in the facilities, a nursing home. I even pray for those at work because they're going through stressful. They have to work on the COVID, including the ones with the sickness, and the nurses and the doctors and all. It's just so much, and, you know, we all in time. But I just want to pray for our prayer line, pray for all the ones that are sick and bereaved. Just want to pray for each and everyone. It's my third time having church today. I've been looking up church everywhere. So I just want to thank the Lord. I've just been praising and praying for people. So I just want to continue asking for prayer for everyone and lifting them up and thank God for being here. And what I feel, I ask y'all to continue praying for. Amen. Brother John. Everyone have a blessed evening. And,
amen. Thank you. You done, Sister Brenda?
Yeah. Let me give Brother John.
Brother John. I want to.
He's coming. He'll be here in a minute. Yeah.
And I'm going to share some with you before. Amen. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brother John.
I'd like to say, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Beyond too long, I'd just like to say I hope everyone's having a blessed day. And I'm going to give God all the praise. And I just want to say that just happy to be on the prayer line, and I just want to thank God for the prayer line. That's what I would like to do to everyone that comes on it. And Brother Yuli and the sisters, the brothers, and just want to thank God for the knowledge that he gives us. And I wouldn't be on too long. I just wanted to say hello to everyone, and God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother John, and thank you, Sister Brenda. But Sister Brenda, the Lord wants you to share. I want to share a scripture. The things that you are learning now from the Bible is the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, he said, the things that has been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said? See, this is new. It had been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of a former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So the Bible is telling us that those things that Moses did, it was the law. It was the law that the children were supposed to be obedient to because they got punished because at that time the Savior wasn't here. Now, since we have the Savior that came and died for our sins, you know what? This got to be, that penalty going to have to be paid. And Christ says, you know, we can accept his way, repentance and forgiveness, or you know what? It's going to be punishment in hell. So the things that was back then, they got their punishment then because Moses had brought them the word of God and he asked them to be obedient. And so they got their punishment and they did all kind of things. It's the same thing going on today. It's no different. So that's what I wanted to share with you. You may have been surprised and you thought that was different. No, things are happening the same thing today. So the Bible said there's nothing new under the sun. So I just want to thank you for sharing that with us. So, and the Lord, if we know something, the Lord wants us to be able to share it with those that don't know. So because you were saying that, we need to address that and help you to know that those things are not new. These things are old. So God bless. And thank you for coming in, Sharon. So we're going to go in prayer, and we're going to ask our sisters and brothers to be in prayers also, because Brother Rick is going to bring us a message, and we're going to lift him up in prayer and lift our brothers and sisters. And I see my sister is on, but she never pressed one. Oh, we have one more. We have one more. I'm sorry, Brother Eli. I'm sorry, Brother Eli is on. Oh, we got a couple more. Okay, hold on. We have another one. So let us open that line. Give me just a second. Yes, we're going to open the line for 631. Brother Eli is not on here. 631-552. Your line is open. 631-552. Your line is open. Give us a name. Where are you calling?
Thank you, Sister Leola. Are you hearing me clear?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I want to thank God for his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. Thank him for his wonderful work that he has done. Today we went to the community in Bronx. We had an elf here. We came up with the Bronx SDA Church. We had an elf here, an outreach. And it was a blessing. And people came, and we shared elk tips with them, share them with the natural plants that is around them that God has made so that they can use it to strengthen their bodies. And a lot of people came out. They asked questions. We did male and female masseuse was there. So we did massage, and we have treats for the children as well, where we share some stuff with the children how they can be healthy in a playful way. And make healthy choice as well, even at a young age. And we have a Spanish interpreter that came, and some virgin from the Spanish church came and did Spanish interpretation. So it was a blessing. I want to thank God for what he has done. And this is, and the people, the pastor was impressed by what we have done. And they say thanks for the team I put them so that we could do something like this again. And they're asking that we could do one more of this because they had it in mind, but they're glad that we came and share this with them. I want to read a quote from the book 1888 Material, page 559, paragraph 9. What it says, Paul admonished Timothy to be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to the faithful men, and shall be able to teach others also. This is what we are to do. We are missionary soil, and we should pray that God may stir up the minds of those who do not seem to feel their need of anything more than they now possess, that they may seek for light from the throne of God. We should not be found quibbling and putting up hooks on which to hang our doubts in regard to the light which God has sent us. When a point of doctrine that you do not understand comes to your attention, go to God on your knees that you may understand what is truth and not be found as were the Jews fighting against God. Light came to them, but they loved darkness rather than light. When warning men to beware, unless it is the truth, we should also warn them not to imperil their soul by rejecting the message of light, but to press out the darkness by earnest study of the word of God. Greater caution should be exercised by all, lest we reject that which is truth. We need a living experience. In faith, we are only like little children learning to walk. As a child takes its first step, it often totters and falls, but it gets up again and finally learns that it can walk alone. We must learn to believe in God. We are not to look at our feelings, but to know God by living faith. look at the centurion who came to Christ for example of a genuine faith. He came to Christ beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lie at home sick of the palsy, grievous tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go and goeth, and to another, come, and another, and cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth. Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not, no, not in Israel. We live in a day and age where so much is happening, and the people of God are losing their hold on Jesus. We are becoming faithless. We are not allowing the Spirit of God to manifest itself and have a living active faith. That God says it, we believe it, and we work with him according to his will. Thank you for opening up my life. And continue to pray for the work. They're also invited to Pennsylvania to do a health fair up there as well next Sabbath to share in the community. So I pray that you'll pray for the ministry here, that we will do that God has called us to do, especially at a time like this.
Amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for that work you're doing down there. That mission, I'm telling, is so needed. So we're going to lift it up in prayer that the Lord will continue that work through you guys. Amen. We got one more caller, and we're going to ask if he can be patient because Brother Rick is waiting to be brief, Brother. So I will open your line, but we're asking because I told Brother Rick 15 minutes, and he's waiting on us, brothers and sisters. So we're going to open the line. Okay, Brother Eli, I'm going to open your line. Brother Eli, would you be brief?
Oh, yeah, amen. Yes, it's okay. Emil. Amen, my brothers and sisters. Good. Hello, my brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, my beautiful brothers and sisters. May God bless you all. May God continue to bless you, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. My prayer request tonight. But first of all, Sister Miola, I'd like to thank God because God is good. He is worthy. He is merciful. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is Jehovah Nisi. There is no one else like him. He's El Shaddai. He's Adonai. Jehovah God is Elohim, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, have faith in the Lord because God is good. Sister Miola, I have a prayer request before I encourage my brother Rick. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom, lift up my mom in prayer, pray for my mom, pray for me, Sister Miola, lift me up in prayer, and Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Brother Jihari because he needs a lot of prayer, but lift him up in prayer, pray for Brother Javel, lift up Brother Javel in prayer, don't forget to pray for Brother Javel in prayer, pray for Brother Jamal, lift up Brother Jamal all in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, pray for my mom's knees because her knees is bothering her. But Sister Miola, we ask you to pray for my mom. And Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for our dear Sister Tamiko. Our dear Sister Tamiko, don't forget to lift her up in prayer. Don't forget to pray for her sons too, Tony. Don't forget to pray for Taiwan. Don't forget to pray for Dorothy. Lift up Dorothy in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I want to encourage my brother brother on this prayer line. My brother Rick, what matter what you're going through, trust in the Lord because he is able. He's a mighty God, brother Rick. Brother Rick, your daughter Ashley will be on this prayer line. So you better share with your daughter, brother Rick. Brother Rick, tell your daughter, do not let the enemy stop her in the name of Jesus. Do not let the enemy stop her in the name of Jesus, because there is a God who will break every chain for her. There is an amazing God, an awesome God who will break every chain for her tonight in the name of Jesus. And Sister Viola, I feel like to sing a song.
Amen.
Sister Viola, at this
Amen.
Moment, like, victory is mine.
Amen.
Victory is mine. Joy is mine, Brother Rick. Brother Rick,
Make
tell your daughter to sing,
life.
Victory is mine. Let me sing a song, Sister Miola. Victory is mine. Amen. Sister Miola, can I sing a song before you pray? Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine, Sister Miola. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. Joy today is mine. And Brother O'Neill, may God bless you, Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill, may God bless
Amen.
You with your ministry. May God bless
Amen.
You, Brother Rick, with
Thank
your ministry.
You, Brother
God
Eli.
Good, Brother Rick. So, hallelujah. Because God is good, Brother Rick.
Thank
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Okay, brothers and sisters, let us go into a word of prayer. Let us pray. I'm asking everyone to please be in prayer as we lift Brother Rick up tonight and lift up others. So let us pray, brothers and sisters. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, to lift up the prayers of your children. Father, as we lift up the brothers and sisters on this prayer line, Father, to begin with Sister Power and the blessing that she has given to this prayer line, Father, the mother, and the blessing of praying for everyone and just lifting up everyone in prayer, Father. She has the encouragement, Lord, Father, for one another. She encouraged, she lifts up each one of her brothers and sisters. So, Lord, we lift her up right now. We lift her up to you, Father. We lift up her children. We lift up her family, Lord, Father, and all our siblings, Lord, that she desire to be saved and to come into your kingdom. So, Heavenly Father, as we lift our sister up to you, Father, asking that you bless her and her ministry, Lord, Father, her ministry in Jamaica, her grandchildren, Jamaica, all her adopted children, Father. We ask that you touch her, Lord, Father, and touch her lips, Father, and that every word and every prayer that she prayed, Father, that the blessing coming from you. So, Lord, continue to lead and guide her and bless her in everything that she does, Lord, especially when she go out and minister to the people around our neighborhood, Lord. Father, we just thank you for what she have done and what she will continue to do, because, Lord, your blessing is upon us. So thank you, Father. Now, Lord, Father, we lift up Sister Barnaby, Lord, Father, a prayer saint on this prayer line. Also, lift up everyone on this prayer line, Lord. And, Father, we pray for her also, asking that you touch her heart. Father, her children in Jamaica, Father, her grandchildren, Father, all her members of her family, Lord, that she desires to be saved in your kingdom. Lord, we ask that you touch their hearts and help them to open up their eyes and see what the Lord is trying to give to them. He's trying to bless them. He wants to give them salvation. So, Father, help them. Help them to receive the blessing, Father. And, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise your name.
So, Heavenly Father, as Sister Barnaby give her heart to you, her songs, her reading, her scriptures, and this prayer line, Father, I'm asking that you bless and strengthen her in every way in her life. And, Father, we also lift up Brother Rick to you, Father. He will be speaking tonight, Father. We ask you to touch his lip, touch his heart, touch his mind, Lord Father, that he may bring out points of these scriptures that he's, Father, we know that it's nothing that we can do, but it's the Holy Spirit, you say, as it would lead and guide and it would teach us. So, Father, we ask that you will help him tonight as he brings forth the word of God. Oh, Father, I'm asking that you strengthen him. Bless him, Father, that it can come clear. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is Brother Rick, my first time here. Brother Rick, bring a message. So, Lord God, you know what he stands in need of. So we ask that you hold him dear to your heart. Oh, thank you, Father. Now, Lord, we also lift up Sister Brenda. Lord, as she brought her request to you, Father, to pray, oh, Father, for her husband, herself, her granddaughter, her grandchildren, Father. We ask him, dear Lord, Father, you know these siblings. You know all our siblings, Lord. And, Lord, Father, where they stand in need of, Lord. Oh, Father, I'm asking that you touch those little ones, Lord, Father, her daughter, that she may turn her life around and teach those children, Lord, Father, the word of God, and that she may understand that God called for her. He allowed her to be a mother, and now he's pointing her that she obedient to him to teach these children, that these children may know the Lord. And, Lord, the children can't know if the parents don't teach them. So, Lord, help her, convict her, Father, of her duty to teach her children, Father. And I'm even asking you, Father, help the grandmother also, that she can help. Lord, I'm asking you to give her wisdom, give her knowledge. Help her, Lord, that she can be able to help her daughter to do it. So, Father, we thank you. And, Lord, Father, we also pray for the son, Lord, which I know my nephew is doing a whole lot better because he done come in some, Lord. And I just thank you for what you're doing with him. So, Lord, his sister, to turn her life around and that she may hear the voice of the Lord and that he can help her to do all things. So, Father, thank you. Now, Lord, we also lifting up Sister Tamika on the phone, Father. She's on the phone, but sometimes she don't speak, but she sing a song. I wanted to open her line, and I will. Sister Tamika, open your line just to give a song, a short song, before Brother Rick bring his message. So, Father, I lift up Sister Tamika to you, Lord. And, Lord, you know her heart. And you know what she's been praying for. So, Father, I'm asking that you intervene in her life and do the work that she needs you to do, Father. So touch her heart. Touch her children. Lord, reveal what you need to reveal to each and every one. Help us, Father. And, Father, we also pray for, we also, Eli, Lord. Eli and his mother. Oh, Father, I'm asking you right now that Eli's mother knee bother her. And we asking that you touch those knees and help her to know that she can do some health remedies to her knees, Father, and that you have allowed so many remedies that we can do. But, Lord, we forget about your remedies, and we call to the doctors. We call for medicine. But, Lord, help us to call for what the Bible says. So, Father, help us. Help us to pick up on the things what the word tells us. So, Father, I'm praying for also Brother Jahari, Jamal, JaVale. Brother Eli gave so many names. Pray for them. Oh, Father, we pray for each and every one. And, Father, we ask that you bless them and you help them, lead and guide them. that they may know the Lord for themselves. And now, Father, we lifting up Brother Rick's family, Lord, to you, his wife, his daughter, her children, all the family, Lord, Father. We all need you, Father. We need you to help us, strengthen us, lead and guide us. Oh, Lord, thank you right now for the blessing. And, Lord, you forgive us for our sins, Lord, where we fall short. So help us to, as Brother Rick was talking about, seeking your commandments, seeking your word. Help us, Lord, to seek it out that we may know you and change these ways. Oh, Father, thank you right now. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for this prayer line. We lift up all the prayer lines, sisters and brother. Brother O'Neill was on the prayer line, Lord. And we thank you for Brother O'Neill for this ministry, this work that he's doing, Lord. We lift it up to you, Lord, that he will continue this work, Lord, sharing this message that so many people need this health message, Lord. So we just pray that it will continue to drive him to show and teach people the will of God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you for helping him to share the word, because people need salvation also. We need you, Father. And, Lord, we do lift Sister Carla up to you also. We lift up Sister Carla and our family. Oh, Sister Power, we just going to agree with all the prayers Sister Power has prayed. Brother Udy and all the others, Sister Richardson, Brother Richardson, so many that she have lifted up all those prayers. Sister Stephanie, everyone, Father. So we thank you. We pray for the message they're going to hear tonight. Bless Brother Rick. Help us, Lord, to hear this word. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. So we thank you tonight, Lord. In the blessed name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Brother Rick, I will open your line. Amen. Give me just a second. Brother Rick, your line is open.
Thank you, sister. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Okay, just wanted to check. Okay, all right, brothers and sisters, thank you for the prayer, Sister Loyola, Brother Eli, thank you for the encouragement. You know, the Lord is good, and without encouragement, oftentimes we get, you know, our hearts get low, and we have a hard time reaching out. And so I just thank you for all the encouragement. And you know what? God is good. He is worthy to be praised, as Brother Eli always says when he first gets on. God is good and worthy to be praised, and yes, he is. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be doing a little study in Ezra 7 and Ezra 8. So if you want to get out your Bibles, please do, and join me. And before we begin, let's just offer just a short prayer. Lord, we are here on this prayer line, Lord, and we've been lifting up our requests and our praises to you, O Lord. Father, tonight as we study your word in the book of Ezra, O Lord, may it touch our hearts, may it cause us to search even deeper, Lord, and seek that relationship with you that Ezra had, that others had before us, Lord. And Father, we know without you, we are nothing. So, Lord, we just lift up this message to you. Lord, I give myself to you at this moment, Lord, that you would work through me, that you would speak through me, Lord. May it not be me, but you speaking, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to start. Just do a little bit of history here now. The book of Ezra is history. Now, some people say they don't like history, but as Sister Leola mentioned here early in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 9, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So everything that is going on now has gone on before. The things that have gone on before will continue to go on, so we can learn from these things, and that's why we study them. There are great object lessons in these scriptures for us, and some people don't believe that the Old Testament is valid today. They believe that we should only use the New Testament, and I say to anyone who says that, well, when Christ was on the earth, he quoted everything that he quoted from the scriptures was from the Old Testament because there was no New Testament. So if we are trying to be like Christ, then we will speak and study the Old Testament also, just as Ezra did, as we will find out. So a little history here. We'll get going on this. About 70 years after the return of the first company of exiles under Zerubbabel and Joshua, King Artaxerxes Longimanus came to the throne of Medo-Persia. It was during his reign that Ezra and Nehemiah lived, and they labored. Now, King Artaxerxes Longimanus was the one who, in 457 BC, issued the third and final decree for the restoration of Jerusalem. His reign saw the return of a company of Jews under Ezra, and also the completion of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah and his associates. Also the reorganization of the temple services and the great religious reformations that Ezra and Nehemiah led out in. During his long rule, he often showed favor to God's people. Now, if you think about that, he had a very long rule. He showed favor to God's people. Now, I cannot say this with 100% certainty, but I believe that because favor to God's people, that the Lord allowed him to rule for his people for a long time. When King Artaxerxes observed Ezra and Nehemiah, he recognized men of God's appointment who had been raised up for a special work. These men were godly men. The experience of Ezra while living among the Jews who remained in Babylon was so unusual that it attracted the favorable notice of King Artaxerxes, with whom Ezra talked freely about the things of God, the power of God, the God of heaven, and the divine purpose in restoring the Jews to Jerusalem. So Ezra not only sought the word of God, okay, to study it and to do it, but he also shared this with the king and with others around him, as we will see. Ezra was born of the sons of Aaron. He had been trained as a priest, and in addition to this, he had acquired a familiarity with the writings of the magicians, the astrologers, and the wise men of the Medo-Persian realm. Now we think about that. Do we read the writings of magicians and astrologers and wise men these days? Probably not. Now, Ezra wanted to, I believe, if you looked into this, Ezra wanted to be familiar with what these men taught and what they believed, so that when he was with them, he could speak to the things that they were teaching, and he could talk to them about the things of God. So he was not reading their writings to gain any knowledge of the occult or any of these things like that, but he was familiar with it. I don't believe that he studied them every day, but he became familiar with what they were teaching so that he could talk to them and he could witness to them about what the God of heaven had for them. Ezra was not satisfied with his spiritual condition. He longed to be in full harmony with God. He longed for wisdom to carry out God's divine will. And so he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, as we read in Ezra 7, verse 10. This led him to apply himself diligently to a study of the history of God's people. Now, Ezra was living, well, let's see, in the Medo-Persian realm, so I believe he was probably living at least 2,000 years after the Ten Commandments were given, and the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. So he wanted to study the history of God's people as recorded in the writings of prophets, of the prophets and the kings. He searched the books of history and the book of Psalms and the books of Moses to learn why the Lord had permitted Jerusalem to be destroyed and his people carried away captive into a heathen land. To the experiences of Israel from the time the promise was made to Abraham, Ezra gave special thought. He not only read these brothers and sisters, he pondered upon them, he meditated upon them. He studied the instruction given at Mount Sinai, which we would call the Ten Commandments, but also the Law of Moses was given too, which were the laws that were outside of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ten Commandments were inside, the books of Moses were on the outside. He looked at the long period of wilderness wandering. As he learned more and more still concerning God's dealings with his children, he comprehended the sacredness of the law given at Mount Sinai. As he comprehended this, as he pondered upon this, Ezra's heart was stirred. And this is something that we need to pay close attention to, brothers and sisters. He experienced a new and thorough conversion, determined to master the record of sacred history, that he might use this knowledge to bring blessing and light to his people. So Ezra was seeking the Lord, brothers and sisters. He was praying to him. He was studying his word. He was striving to do God's word as he read it. And as he did this, he experienced a new and thorough conversion. Brothers and sisters, that is amazing. Sometimes we think that we listen to a brother or sister talk and, wow, these people are converted. Well, I'm sure that if we had been back in the time of Ezra, we would have said that he was converted. But as we read this, it says that he had a thorough conversion. So we must seek ever for a more thorough conversion than what God has blessed us with already. Ezra endeavored to gain a heart preparation for the work he believed was before him. He sought God earnestly that he might be a wise teacher in Israel. So not only was Ezra studying, he wanted to prepare for the work that he believed God had set before him. He wanted to be a wise teacher. He wanted to be able to lead the people in the way that God would have them to go. So that is something that we need to be mindful of. As he learned to yield his mind and will to God's control, there brought into his life the principles of true sanctification, which in later years molded not only the youth who sought his instruction, but any others who associated with him. Ezra developed into a man of extraordinary learning and became a ready scribe in the Law of Moses. So as Ezra studied these things of God, as he taught the people, the sanctification that God desired to bring about in his life started happening, okay? And as this continued on, youth sought him out, and he was able to instruct them and all others who associated with him. So, and Ezra developed into a man of extraordinary learning, which attracted the king to him. And that's what attracted the king, because not only was he versed in God's word and God's law, God brought him knowledge of everything that was around him. Now, if we talk about science, who is the author of science? God is, okay? Now, if Ezra's seeking God's will, God's law, God's word in his life, God is going to give him wisdom and knowledge in science as well as anything else that the king might need. So therefore, as we seek God's word, as we learn these things, God will cause us to learn the things that we need to know to help our brothers and sisters around us. It might be the laws of health, as we are very aware of. I believe Sister Paul was talking about that earlier. Science, medicine, all these things are all under God's control. And if we seek him, God will bring these things to us. Ezra became a mouthpiece for God, educating those about him and the principles that govern heaven. During the remaining years of his life, whether in the court of the king of Medo-Persia or at Jerusalem, which we will see that Ezra spent time in Jerusalem, his main work was that of a teacher. And as he communicated to others the truths he had learned, his capacity for labor increased. Now, I am so grateful to be acquainted with Sister Powell and many others on the prayer line. Even though they are getting up in years, they do not say, well, you know, I'm just going to retire and sit back and do nothing. Sister Barnaby, what a prayer warrior for the Lord. And I don't, you know, all the many people that we have met on the prayer line are older in years, and they're not sitting back and saying, it's time to take it easy, Brother John, Sister Brenda. No, they're saying, no, we must work even more diligently for the Lord. And that's what was happening to Ezra. As he communicated to others the truth he had learned, his capacity for labor increased. So God will not only keep us, but he will increase us if we continue in his word and teaching others. He became a man of piety and zeal. He was the Lord's witness to the world of the power of Bible truth, that it would ennoble the daily life. So as he studied these truths, they had ennobled his life and others' lives. The efforts of Ezra to revive an interest in the study of the scriptures caused him to seek to preserve and multiply the sacred writings. He gathered together all the copies of the law that he could find and had these transcribed and distributed. Now, if you think about that, he lived in a time when there were no printing presses, there were no nothing to print books out on, and they had to copy each one of these scriptures off by hand. That is a lot of work, tedious, painstaking work, but he gathered these sacred writings together. He had people writing them, and he distributed them. The word was thus multiplied, and when it was placed in the hands of many people, it gave knowledge that could not be found by any other means. So the scriptures lead us into knowledge that we will find nowhere else. Ezra's faith that God would do a mighty work for his people led him to tell King Artaxerxes of his desire to return to Jerusalem to revive an interest in the study of God's word. And not only did he want to revive an interest in the study of God's word, he wanted to assist his people in restoring the holy city. He not only wanted to help them, you know, gain a new interest, but also he wanted to assist them in their daily life, in the things that they needed, in the practical things in life, which I believe that the Advent Light Ministry has been very good at doing that, teaching practical things as well as spiritual things. As Ezra declared his perfect trust in the God of Israel as one abundantly able to protect and care for his people, the king became deeply impressed. He understood that the Israelites were returning to Jerusalem that they might serve their God, Jehovah. Now, if you think about this, the pagan kings did not want people serving, worshiping any other deities than their own or themselves. But this king was so impressed with Ezra that he wanted them to go back and serve their God Jehovah. His confidence in the integrity of Ezra, his confidence was so great in the integrity of Ezra that he showed him great favor. He granted his request, and giving him many, many rich gifts, he allowed them to go back, and he gave them these rich gifts for the temple service. He made him a special representative of the Medo-Persian kingdom and gave him extensive powers for the carrying out of the purposes that were in his heart. So the king trusted Ezra so much because God was working in his life that he gave him all these expensive gifts, powers, and he even told him that he could use the king's treasury to supply the needs that they had. King Artaxerxes refers to Ezra as the priest and the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. The king united with his counselors in offering freely unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. In addition, he made a provision for meeting many heavy expenses by ordering that they be paid out of the king's treasure house. Now, we will find that in Ezra chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, and also verses 15 and 20. Because Ezra was faithful to God, God was impressing the king and his counselors. King Artaxerxes had seven counselors that ruled with him, that gave him counsel, but he would make wise rulings, not just one man by himself sometimes can be misled. But if we have seven counselors along there, they would be much less likely to be misled by one thing or another. So the king depended on his counselors, and even all the counselors were impressed by Ezra. The king said, "Thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem, according to the law of God which is in thine hand." And he further decreed, "Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done diligently for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons?" Ezra 7:14 and 23. Now, the king realized that if he did not go along with Ezra, that the God of heaven had power to bring wrath upon him and his sons. Now, God did not threaten that, but the king realized that this God was a powerful God, the God. So King Artaxerxes gave permission to the Israelites to return. He also, and this is very interesting, he arranged for the restoration of the priests to their ancient rights and privileges. When the people were taken captive to Babylon, they were captives. They did not have rights and privileges. As the years went by, the people were a little more free. They were able to buy houses and land and things like this. But they did not have all the privileges that they had back when they were in the land of Israel. The king learned of these rights, and he said, "We certify you that touching any of the priests and the Levites, the singers, the porters, the Nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them." The people had to pay taxes, tolls, tributes, or customs, as it was called in the Bible. But, you know, in the land of Israel, it was not lawful for them to charge that to the priests or to the Levites who took care of the temple services, because they did not have a job as such. They made no wages to support themselves. They were supplied, their needs were supplied from the offerings of the people. So in Israel, they were not charged these tolls or taxes and the king made a decree that this would continue, that he or none of his people in his kingdom would tax them or make them pay tribute, which was directly brought to him through the power of God that he should decree this. He also arranged for the appointment of civil officers to govern the people by the Jewish code of laws. Now, normally when a king would send people back to rebuild a city, he would send his people back to govern them so that they would make sure that everything was the way it was supposed to be. These people were not planning to, an uprising against the king, but the king so trusted Ezra that he allowed him to appoint officers and governors and judges over the people. And he says here that you should set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them what they do not know. And whatsoever will, and whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon them, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. So the king was allowing these judges and governors to teach the people the law of God and of the king, which would be himself. And if they did not obey, they could be put to death, they could be banished, they could have their goods confiscated, or be put in prison. So, and that is found in Ezra 7, verses 24 through 26. Now, according to the good hand of his God upon him, Ezra had persuaded the king to make abundant provision for the return of all the people of Israel and of the priests and Levites in the Medo-Persian realm, who were minded of their own free will to go to Jerusalem. That's verses 9 and 13 of Ezra 7. This is a very important point here, brothers and sisters. God does not force any of us to do anything against our own free will. As we have seen in these past year and a half with the COVID crisis coming up, people are being forced to do things against their will, wear masks, stay away from people, do many things. And, you know, some of these things are, we have to be, seek the Lord out for wisdom in what we should do and not do. Some people say, I will never wear a mask. It's foolish. It's infringing upon my rights. But, you know, God gives us wisdom. If doctors who are treating COVID patients do not wear a mask, they would probably contract the disease and they would die. So, brothers and sisters, we all must be seeking God for wisdom and knowing what to do and not just follow along blindly in doing or not doing something. I listened to a sermon by a Seventh-day Adventist pastor, and he and his church would never wear a mask. He thought that it was evil to wear a mask, you know, and I don't agree with that. But, you know, each one of us must, in our own time, seek the Lord for wisdom on these things. But, you know what, we should never force anyone to do anything against their will. So the people were allowed to go of their own free will back to Jerusalem. Again, God's people were given opportunity to return to the land of promise. Decree brought great rejoicing to those who had been uniting with Ezra in a study of God's purpose concerning his people. So those who were studying the laws of God, who were studying the word of God, were rejoicing over this decree. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, Ezra exclaimed, which hath put such things as this in the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy unto me before the kings and his counselors, and before all the king's mighty princes. And we'll find that in verses 27 and 28. So Ezra was praising God because he had put these things in the king's heart. In the issuing of this decree by the king, God's providence was plainly shown to the people. Those who were discerning God's providence in these events gladly took advantage of the privilege of returning under circumstances so favorable. Now, if you think about this, the king made it very easy for the people to go back. Okay, he gave them provisions. He gave them letters so they could, whatever they needed, they could be provided with food and with anything else they needed out of the king's treasury. And those who were discerning God's providence saw this and gladly took advantage of the privileges that that the king gave them. A place was named for meeting, and at the appointed time, those who desired to go to Jerusalem assembled for the long journey. Ezra says in chapter 8, verse 15, I gathered them together to the river that runneth through Ahava. And there abode we in tents for 3 days. Ezra had expected that a large number would return to Jerusalem. If you read in the first chapter of Ezra, about 50,000 people went back with Zerubbabel and Joshua. And as Ezra was calling for people, he didn't even have 2,000 people that showed up to go back. He expected many more people. Many who had required houses and lands had no desire to sacrifice these possessions. They loved ease and comfort and were well satisfied to remain. Their example, let's pay close attention to this, brothers and sisters. Those that loved ease and comfort were well satisfied to remain. Their example proved a hindrance to others who otherwise might have chosen to go with those who were advancing by faith. So when somebody tells you that we are not our brother's keeper, this plainly states that those who loved ease and comfort were hindering those who otherwise would have gone if these people had said, yes, we will go by faith. So we are our brother's keepers, brothers and sisters, we must remember that. As Ezra looked over the company that had been assembled, he was surprised to find none of the sons of Levi. Where were the members of the tribe that had been set apart for the sacred service of the temple? To call who is on the Lord's side, the Levites should have been the first to respond. During the captivity and afterwards, they had been granted many privileges. They had enjoyed the fullest liberty to minister to the spiritual needs of their people in exile. Synagogues had been built, and the priests had conducted the worship of God and instructed the people. The observance of the Sabbath and the performance of the sacred rites peculiar to the Jewish faith had been freely allowed. God had shown them great favor by allowing them to keep the Sabbath and these things during the captivity, brothers and sisters. The temple at Jerusalem had been rebuilt and dedicated. Priests were needed to carry out its services. There was pressing need of men of God to act as teachers of the people. And besides, the Jews remaining in Babylon were in danger of having their religious liberty restricted. Through the prophet Zechariah, as well as by the recent experience during the troubling times of Esther and Mordecai, you remember the story of Queen Esther and how she, God worked through her to save her people. The Jews in Medo-Persia had been plainly warned to return to their own land. The time had come when it was perilous for them to dwell longer in the midst of heathen influences. In view of these changed conditions, the priests in Babylon should have been quick to discern the issuance of the decree as a special call for them to return to Jerusalem. If you think of all these events going on here, brothers and sisters, we can relate these to our times. God is calling us to come out of Babylon, to come out of confusion, to get away from the heathen influences And he has given us favorable conditions to do that for a long time. But there will come a time when those favorable conditions will go away. So we must act now. We must be discerning as the people were that decided to go back to Jerusalem. The king and his princes had done more in their part in opening the way for the return. They had provided generous means, but where were the men? The sons of Levi failed at a time when the influence of a decision to accompany their brothers would have led others to follow their example. Strange indifference is a sad revelation of the attitude of the Israelites in Babylon towards God's purpose for his people. And today, brothers and sisters, we can see that going on in our time. One moment here, brothers and sisters. Yes? Okay. So there was a strange indifference of the people, and especially of the priests and these leaders in Israel. As I was thinking about this, brothers and sisters, in Peter, I believe, let me look up my verses here. First Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 and we were just talking about the priests and the Levites, which were God's priests to offer the services in the temple, and the Levites who carried on the temple services, they were missing. They did not want to go back. And Peter, it says here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Brothers and sisters, the priests, the Levites, should be the leaders of the people, did not want to go back. Peter is telling us that we are the royal priesthood. We are those workers for God. Our good works should be beheld, and that people may glorify God through us. Now, if what is going on in Ezra is any indication of what's going on today, that shows that God's people are not willing to leave Babylon. They were leaving Babylon, brothers and sisters. The people of today are not willing to leave Babylon, to leave confusion, to leave the heathen influences. And, God is calling us out of that, as we have studied so many times, brothers and sisters. So Ezra appealed to the Levites, sending them an urgent invitation to unite with his company. To emphasize the importance of quick action, he sent with his written plea several of his chief men of understanding, as we are told in Ezra 7:28. While the travelers waited for Ezra, these trusted messengers hastened back with a plea, bring unto us ministers for the house of our God. Ezra 8:17. The appeal was heeded. Some who had been on the fence made the decision to return. In all, about 40 priests and 220 Nethinim, men upon whom Ezra could rely as wise ministers and good teachers and helpers, were brought to the camp. The brothers and sisters, about 260 more men showed up. Now, we're talking, there was about 2,000 people, so over 10% of these men were either priests or ministers and teachers and helpers. So once that second call went out, God gave those people mercy to accept that plea again, and they did answer the call, which was to their credit. All we're ready to set forth before them was a journey that would occupy approximately 4 months. Now, if you think about that, we can understand why these people, some of them didn't want to go. We're talking a four-month journey, probably walking through a hot desert. The land between Babylon and Jerusalem was, much of it was desert. So they had a very long walk, a very hard journey ahead of them. The men were taking with them their wives and children and all their goods, besides large treasure for the temple and its service. Ezra was aware that enemies lay in wait by the way, ready to plunder and destroy him and his company. Yet he had asked from the king no armed force for protection. "I was ashamed," he explained, "to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way. Because we had spoken unto the king, saying, 'The hand of our God is called, is upon all them that for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him.'" Ezra was ashamed to ask for protection from the king because they were telling the king that God's hand would be upon all those who sought the Lord. So he did not want to ask for protection from the king, and this is why. Ezra and his companions saw an opportunity to lift up the name of God before the heathen. Faith in the power of the living God would be strengthened if the Israelites themselves would now reveal unwavering faith in their divine leader. They therefore decided to put their trust wholly in him. They would ask for no soldiers. They would give the heathen no opportunity to take the glory that belongs to God alone. Brothers and sisters, how often have we allowed the heathen, those around us who don't worship the God of heaven, to take the glory that belongs only to God? And, you know, Ezra and these wise men decided, we're not going to ask for this. We're going to allow God to receive the whole glory for this undertaking. They could not afford to arouse in the minds of their heathen friends one doubt as to the sincerity of their dependence on God and his people. Strength would be gained not through wealth, not through power and influence of idolatrous men, but through the favor of God. Only by keeping the law of the Lord before them, as Ezra said, he sought out the law of the Lord, and by believing it, and through the power of God striving to obey it, would they be protected. So brothers and sisters, there is something that we have talked about much. We must keep the law of God before us. We must believe it, and through the power of God's Spirit, and we will be protected also, as Ezra and these people would. The knowledge of the conditions under which they would continue to enjoy the prospering hand of God lent to a very solemn consecration service that was held by Ezra and his company of faithful souls just before they departed. Ezra says here in verses 21 and 23 of Ezra 8, "I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava." Ezra has declared of this experience that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. People, Ezra and all the people, proclaimed a fast. They fasted, they afflicted their souls. Okay, they did not beat themselves up, but they cried out to the Lord, asking for forgiveness, asking for protection, asking for wisdom from their God. And God heard that, and he answered their prayers, brothers and sisters. The blessing of God, however, did not negate the exercise of preparation. As a special precaution in safeguarding the treasure, Ezra separated 12 of the chief of the priests, men whose faithfulness and fidelity had been proved, and gave them all the silver and gold in the vessels of the house of God, which the king and his counselors and his lords and all Israel had offered. These men were solemnly charged to act as vigilant stewards over the treasure entrusted to their care. Ezra declared, "Ye are holy unto the Lord. The vessels are also holy, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering unto the Lord God of our fathers. Watch ye and keep them until ye weigh them before the chief of the priests and the Levites, and the chief of the fathers of Israel at Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord." These things were entrusted to these men, brothers and sisters. These were given to the house of the Lord, the treasure, the money, all these things. These men were trusted men because they had proved themselves. And so, therefore, we must prove ourselves to our Lord, too. And if we do, we prove to be faithful. God can trust us, and we will be entrusted with many great things. Ezra recognized the necessity and value of order and organization in connection with the work of God. So, you know, my brothers and sisters, as a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I, too, you know, belong to an organization. This organization says that we have order. We have rules to abide by. And so God, you know, is a God of order and organization. And we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up in order and organization that we leave God out of it. But God enjoys, he appreciates, and he calls us to be organized and orderly in all that we do. During the few days that the Israelites tarried at the river, every provision was completed for the long journey. The people didn't just call on God, say, "God, provide what we need, and we're just going to leave." No, they gathered together all that they needed. But God gives us a work to do also, brothers and sisters. It's not just prayer, and then we do what we're going to do, and God can provide. He asks us to do our part also. But on that note also, brothers and sisters, we must be careful that we don't do God's part. God has a part to play, okay? And we must seek him for his wisdom, that we don't overstep our bounds and try to do too much. Sometimes we tend to do too much, and it burdens us, and then we don't do well at anything that we do. So God just calls on us to seek him in faith, to call on him for wisdom. He'll give us that wisdom, and then we need to act upon it. Ezra writes, "We departed on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and of such as lay in wait by the way." That's Ezra 8:31. About 4 months were occupied on the journey. A multitude that accompanied Ezra, which numbered several thousand in all, including women and children, caused the progress to be slow. But all were preserved in safety. Their enemies were restrained from harming them. Their journey was a prosperous one. And on the first day of the fifth month in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, they reached Jerusalem. As I was reading the story, brothers and sisters, I was jotting down a few things that I observed in these scriptures. And I just wanted to share them with you. And one of them was the call to service. Ezra was called to serve God. When he was called to serve God, what did he do? He prepared his heart. He did not just sit around and say, "Okay, God called me. God's going to do whatever it takes to give me what I need so I can do what I'm supposed to do." No, Ezra prepared his heart. He searched the scriptures. He obeyed God's word, okay? He sought God out. As I was looking, continued looking on, our scriptures here call us to prepare the preparation of goods. As all the brothers and sisters who help prepare for the Advent Light camp meetings know, there are many things to prepare and get ready. Sister Powell and Sister Carla and a few others help greatly with the food. They bought the food. They prepared the food. Brother O'Neill helped on our very last camp meeting. He was in the kitchen most of the time preparing food. So God expects us to do our part too, preparation of goods. There's also a call to unwavering faith in God's care. The people, Ezra and the people, did not trust in soldiers and horsemen. They trusted in God to protect them. They trusted that God would give them protection and whatever they needed, and he did. And one of the great things that I really wanted to stress to our brothers and sisters is participation in this endeavor was based on free will. None of us should ever try to coerce, we should never try to shame anyone into following us or God. We should never try to force someone to do something they don't want to do. If they do not want to do it, then that is their free will. God offers that to each one of us. He calls us to salvation. He calls us to follow him, but he never makes us. He never made anyone. And brothers and sisters, that is what is going to be happening here very soon. It has happened already in different parts of the world. People are not allowed to worship God as they see fit. And very soon, that's going to happen to us. And if we are trying to force people to follow us or God or what we think they should be doing, we'll be doing the work of the devil. Okay? The devil uses fear. He uses coercion. He uses shame and guilt to get people to follow along. And each one of us must be very careful and that we don't do the same thing. We do not use the tactics of the devil. As Jesus said, you do the works of your father, the devil. I do the works of my father, which is in heaven. So, brothers and sisters, this is a call to each one of us to do the works of our Father in heaven. Let's study the scriptures diligently each day, each morning, each evening, each day. And as we study them, let's purpose in our hearts, as Daniel did, to obey them. And through the power of God, we will be able to obey them. He will strengthen us. He will keep us from being overcome by temptation. And brothers and sisters, God is longing to take each one of us home to heaven. And I do not believe that we will be here much longer. As we see the events unfolding around us, God is coming soon. So let us pray, brothers and sisters, and let us, the Lord, that each one of us here in this prayer line and our families will be in that kingdom. So let's just bow our heads really quickly. Lord, Father, as we look at the events surrounding Ezra and the people, Lord, we see all that was going on, Lord, how you provided for them, how you protected them, Lord, how you impressed them to do certain things, how you prepared them for their journey and their work, Lord. Father, may we be faithful as Ezra was to study your word, Lord, to obey it, to seek you each day, Lord. Father, forgive our sins, Lord. We are just mere humans, Lord. We are sinful creatures. We are weak, wholly unprepared to do your work, Lord, but promise your spirit if we would just follow you, Lord, if we would seek that every day with our whole heart, that you would give us that spirit and that we would be able to do the work that you have set before us, Lord. You've called us to a great work, Lord. And Father, we are not worthy, but Lord, we know that Jesus' sacrifice freely offered in our stead, Lord, makes us worthy if we will accept that, if we will just look to you, Lord. And Father, bless us this night. Bless each person on this prayer line. Bless those who are hosting, those who are making this prayer line possible, Lord. We thank you. Praise you, Lord. Father, be with our families, Lord. We just do lift them up to you. Pray for your blessing upon them, for your watch care, Lord, for your spirit to be guiding them, to be impressing them, to be pricking their hearts, Lord, that they may realize that you and only you are the answer to all their needs, Lord. Father, may we be a witness to them and to others for you, Lord, in a positive way, Lord.
We pray that you would bless us and guide us now and keep us until we can meet again, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Brother Rick, for bringing us that message. And I just wanted to read just a little short example that Brother Rick was bringing. It says the example. Hold on a second. Hold on, Brother Rick. Hold on.
Yeah.
Just a second. And Brother, let me close up. Yes, we want to thank Brother Rick for that. And then I want to just read an example, a little quote. Prophecy here, it says 7:10. It say an example in knowledge and practice. Shall we let the example of Ezra teach us the use we should make of our knowledge of the scripture? The life of the servant of God should be an inspiration to us to serve the Lord with heart and mind and strength. We each have an appointed work to do. And this can be accomplished only by consecrated effort. We need first to set ourselves to know the requirement of God. Oh, sisters and brothers, we got to know the requirements. And it say, and then to practice them, then we can sow seeds of truth that will bear fruit unto eternal. So as we read the word of God and we all search the scriptures, and I know everyone on here, we usually do study. So we just want to thank God for his word. And to end it, I'm going to open the line for Tamika, and she's going to just give us a little. Tamika, you're on. You can give us a closing song. Sister Tamika, you're on. I was supposed to open earlier. Okay, brothers and sisters, I don't think Sister Tamika, she may be resting now. Okay, so Sister Powell, I'm going to ask Sister Powell just give us a closing prayer and a comment if she have it. Sister Powell, you there? Sister Powell, you there? Can you hear me? Sister Powell? Okay. Well, I'm going to just do a closing song. Oh, okay. Sister Powell, you can give a closing prayer.
We're going to just close off, right?
Okay.
So, kind and loving Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful lesson tonight. Dear Lord, we continue to bless us and to keep us as we listen to how Ezra prepared himself, Lord, by fasting and present his life to you, dear Lord, so that you would be willing and ready to lead the people, Father. Help us that we will be able to go over this scripture, and we want to thank Brother Rick, Lord, for this wonderful reminder of your word, and help us, Lord, that we will be obedient to your will. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen, amen. Good night, my dear brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Good night.
And Brother Rick.
Amen, amen,
amen.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Now I'll close out with a song.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed.
Redeemed, redeemed.